Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back together with you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to go away and to be refreshed. And we did get refreshed. We did a little bit of exercising, a little bit of swimming. You see, we got a bit of a tan. So it's been good to be away, but it's good to be back together with the family. We really missed you, and we're glad to be back to go forward with you in the Lord. But while we were sitting there, I just read in my heart the scripture in 2 Corinthians, where God talks about the thorn in the flesh. And I just really want to encourage you, is that I really just sense there might be issues in your life that you're finding that you're having difficulty with, but depend on the grace of God. When Paul went to the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh, what did the Lord say to him? He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And I want to just say, God's grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you are facing in life, God's grace is sufficient for you, and He will enable you to overcome. And what did Paul say when he responded to that? He said, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." So, you know, when we start the new year, and all of us are in that place, we are human, we feel, how are we going to get through all this, and how are we going to overcome all these things? But let's be like Paul, that when we are weak, then we are strong, because the Lord is for us. Who can be against us? Amen. Amen. I want to share today on a topic that is close to my heart, and I'm sure it's close to all your hearts. So I just want to get this all going here. There we go. And I want to share on a topic called "Let's Get Real About the Great Commission." Is that up there? There we go. Can we just move maybe some of these marks it, please? But the foundation of, I really believe, of fulfilling the Great Commission is not always just obedience. I really do believe it's founded in relationship. You know, so often we get into a place, we get condemned because God has actually commanded us to go and fulfill the Great Commission. But a lot of us, we find it difficult to do it. Am I right? All of us find it difficult to do it. But I want to just say, when our relationship with the Lord becomes stronger and we have a rich relationship with Him, that's when it becomes easier. Because otherwise it becomes legalism. It becomes a law that this is what we've got to fulfill. And I believe the Lord doesn't want us to be in that place. It must be a natural thing that overflows in our lives. So the question I ask before we go into this, how's your relationship with the Lord? I'm not asking how's your Bible study. I'm not asking how's your prayer life. I'm asking, how is your relationship with your Lord? When last did you hear His voice? When last did you hear the encouragement from Him to tell you that He loves you? When last did you hear Him to say, walk this way, not that way? You see, because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. And when Jesus went to the cross, and He died for us and paid the price for our sin. Yes, He set us free from the condemnation and damnation of hell, but He set us free for a relationship with Him. And you know, His injunction to us was, come follow me. Deny self, take up your cross and follow me. And that's what we're about. And I want to encourage us as we, all of us are in this place as individuals and as a church, we're all in this role of following Jesus and having a relationship with Him. So I really want to encourage you, is that I don't come to bring condemnation today, but I come to encourage you, out of a rich relationship with the Lord, that's when we go and testify about who He is. And we've got to get closer to the Lord. You know, as I've just been chatting to the people this morning, the world out there is getting darker. But we got to shine brighter for Him. And how do we shine brighter? Is when our relationship with our Lord gets stronger. The Lord, when He spoke against the Pharisees, one of the things He said to the Pharisees, you don't have a rich relationship with God. They had religion, they had the law, but they never had a relationship with God. So I do challenge you today, is when you wake up in the morning, say good morning, Lord. When you go to sleep at night, good night, Lord. Talk to Him as God, but talk to Him as a friend. And out of that love relationship with Him, that's when we do what God has called us to do. If it's not founded on anything else than that, we're on the wrong foundation. Because otherwise it becomes works, and we see the Lord is against works. You will see even those who were prophesying and casting out devils, and they were doing all the work of the ministry. The Lord said to them, "Get away from me, you evildoers, for I never knew you." And I want to just say one of the greatest pursuits that you can ever have in your life is to know Jesus. He knows you, but you to know him. And we all face difficulties, and he's there with us through those times, and he's there to comfort us, and he gives us an insight of who he is. And he came to us. He chose us. We never chose him. And we've got to draw back to him. So if you've drawn away from the Lord, I want to encourage you as we start, you draw closer to him. And I know there are many things. We've got our vision and our goals and all these things that we've got to do. But may those things not get in the way of an intimate, personal relationship with him. You know, the presence of God is a promise that we've been all been given. Under the Old Testament, they had to go to the temple and they had to make their sacrifices. And that was the way to deal with sin, and was a day for the way for their relationship to grow with God. But Jesus came and brought a better way, the new covenant. He abolished that he could come to live inside of us. And as he lives inside of us, we can have that intimacy with him. And that's available to you and I, every single one of us, from a young child to the elderly, whatever we go through life, this intimacy is the key to life. So we love God. But may you truly love him, and may you know his love as you walk with him. May your following him not become dry and empty. If it is, then I want us to say, let's focus on that and go and give God time and spend with him and start to open up your heart to him as never before. It's such a key thing, and I really believe we are going to be preaching into that, how to grow in our relationship with the Lord, how to develop walking in the presence of Almighty God. That's all what we desire, and my desire for that. And out of that premise of a strong, intimate, personal relationship, I want to preach into this topic. It's not condemnation. It's because when you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and we love him, and we know his love for us, then we can fulfill the Great Commission. If it's any other way, I'm going to be screaming at you and shouting at you, why aren't you doing these things, and become a rule book and become legalism, and that's not what God wants. God wants the love of God to flow out of a relationship, and I want to encourage you with that. So the topic that we want to be looking at today is, let's get real about the Great Commission. Now, a lot of you are in the business world, and we thank God for you that God's given you that opportunity to have a testimony and a witness in the business world. And you know that when you run your business, that you can have everything working right. You can have all the right employees, you can have the administrators, you can have all the production, you can have the right product. But if you don't have a marketing plan and you don't sell what you've been given, you're not going to succeed. What's the difference with the church? God has given us a message. It's the good news of him, and he's the message. And that message is also got to get out of there. And you know, our loving God has restricted himself to us. He doesn't have another plan. He's given us that responsibility to go and tell the world about him, to tell our families, to tell those that we have interaction with about him and his good news. And that's what I come to encourage you here today. I really believe we've got to give a lot more effort and be more intentional in this role that God has actually given to us. We can't negate it and say, well, we just want to love people, or we want to care for them. We've got to be out there, and we've got to be sharing the gospel with them. I'm sure you don't find that easy. Am I right? You find it difficult because I think we get intimidated by the world. They seem to be so confident, and they seem to know what they're talking about. But when we come to share the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is, we seem to want to run away from that. And I want to just say, I really believe God wants to encourage us today is that we've got to get out there, and we've got to be doing this with the people that God's put in our path, and to share with them wherever we find. And I wanted to say, especially if you're in the workplace, you have many people to share the love of God with. You know, many years ago, I went to varsity and joined a Christian fellowship group on campus. And the gift of prophecy was working, and the Lord encouraged us through prophecy. He said he wanted us to just go and tell people that he loved them. And you know, when I was a young Christian there, you know nothing about the depths of Christianity and all the doctrines and all those things. But I did know the something about the love of God. And we went purposely just to go and tell people that Jesus loves them. And I want to tell you, when we started to reveal just through those simple words, Jesus loves you, and tried to build up a conversation out of that, people started to respond. Because you know, the world out there, God has created us to be loved. That's the DNA of creation. We are created to be loved, and we are created to love. And when you bring the creator of all creation into this and reveal his love to individuals who he died for, things start to happen. And I want to encourage you, that's the message that God has for us. This gospel that we preach. And yes, we can get to the intricacies of doctrine and Christology and understanding those things, but it comes down to the nuts and bolts. God loves you. And out of that love, we share that love with people. And when they come to that, they respond to him, and he brings the freedom and the liberty through his grace. So I want us to say, we have to be in a place where God will enable us to be intentional about sharing the gospel. We never stop caring for people, but we need to be in a place where we start to share this gospel. But you know what's happened in our world today? All of you got cell phones, and we're all in this age of the social media and the WhatsApp and the Facebook and the Instagram. And you know what? We all default in to social media to do our communication. It's the older folk that will pick up a phone and will phone you and communicate. All of us default to WhatsApp, and we'll send a message, and now we've communicated. I want to just say, unfortunately, when it comes to the sharing the gospel, it's a one-on-one thing. We can share it on social media, and it can be opened up through social media, and web pages and all those things are very good, and the influence is broad, but I want to just say it's the one-on-one that needs to take place. It's looking that person, having a cup of coffee with them, or speaking to them heart-to-heart, that personal connection of sharing a testimony of Jesus, that's the importance that we need to do. So we've got to be more intentional to move away from relying on where the world is pushing us to be people again, and people that communicate one-on-one with one another. Even in our marriages, we're finding that we're communicating through social media with our children, all things. Even in the church, to facilitate our communication, we defaulting to, so not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying it's not best. The best is still one-on-one, talking to one another. And what does that take? T-I-M-E. It takes time. It's inconvenient because we live in a world that seems to be rushed. We seem to live in a world that is busy, and we don't have time. And when you got your agenda and you plan, and someone comes in to your life, you don't have time for them. Am I right? I've got stuff to do, you know, and I'm exactly the same. We get busy in this thing. We've got to stop that, and we've got to give time and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So I come to encourage you today in this outworking of sharing the gospel. I really believe we have evangelists in the church, but to do the work of evangelism, which is sharing your testimony of Jesus, is for all of us to do. This is not restricted to one or two people. This is for all of us to fulfill. So when we look at the early church, what were they doing? In the early church, we found that they were active in sharing their faith. They were in the marketplace. They were doing this thing of having a vital living relationship with the living God. And what was happening? The church was growing. The church was growing because they had a testimony of Jesus out there. And I really want to encourage you with us is that we need to be more and more like the early church. In the marketplace where we find ourselves, we need to have a testimony of Jesus. What has happened to the current church? I think the current church has become still and quiet in this role, and we need to be going forward and be giving a testimony of Jesus. So what is my text that we're using today? I'd like you to turn into your Bible, and you know this portion of Scripture very well. In Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission where Jesus was some of his last words that he spoke to his disciples. And I read from verse 18 to 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And then also Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the mandate that was upon our Lord Jesus himself. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all under who were all oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So my first point is evangelism, or sharing your testimony, is caught more than taught. So we can come to you and we can give you, and we're going to try and teach you how to do this thing, but you know, this thing's got to be modeled. You know, we come out of families, and you find when you've been in a family and you get married, your children get married, the modeling that took place in the family gets modeled into the family that you live. Now, I don't know, I love Christmas and the Christmas, some of the Christmas traditions. I love a gammon. Who likes a gammon? Oh, I can see those hands. And this Christmas we celebrated again with a gammon. The turkey's taken a back seat, it's got dry, but the gammon not. The gammon is, and those are good traditions. And some of those things in our families, this thing of sharing Jesus needs to be modeled in our families and needs to be modeled in the life of the church. We got to be saying to our children, do as I do, not what I say. So often, you know, I look at my own personal life, and I'm not bragging now. Having a quiet time with the Lord is a disciplined aspect of our lives, and you've got to get up early for that, and it takes effort to do those things. And I've just seen my daughters, I haven't said to my children, do this, but especially I've seen my daughter has risen up and seen my example, and she says, "Dad, I'm doing because I'm seeing what you're doing." And I want to say that a lot of the stuff that we're doing, it's got to be modeled in what we're doing. Now, this modeling of sharing our testimony of Jesus is got to be carried through all of us. And you know, those that are evangelists in the life of the church, that God's given the outworking of that, they find that easier. But we need to see them who are in the life of the church, and we need to follow after that and be doing what they are doing. We cannot leave this work just to those who so-called seemingly are the evangelists. The evangelists in Ephesians chapter 4 are there to train the church to do the work of sharing their testimony of Jesus. And it's for every one of us. You know, when I first became a Christian many years ago, I was very, very fearful of people, and especially sharing the gospel. And I have shared this before, but apologize if you remember it. I remember I was at varsity, and I was walking back to the bus in Braamfontein, and we were encouraged to share our testimony. And there was a gentleman walking down the road, and I thought, this is an opportunity. I'm going to share with him. And I tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hello, Jesus loves you." And I was gone. But that was a step of boldness that I realized. And then the Lord spoke to me through that. He says, no, this is relationship. So you've got to build up conversation, and you've got to build a bridge. And out of that, and we got to trust God, is because it's people that we're dealing with. We're not dealing with robots. And as we share that way and we build relation with people, we can open up and we can share the good news of Jesus. So I'm really just trusting, as I encourage you here today, is that I want to open up the platform here on a weekly basis. If you have a testimony of how you've shared your testimony with others and how they've come to an understanding and a realization of who Jesus is, I want to share those testimonies here, because I want to encourage you, as we encourage by one another, as we are faithful in that of sharing our faith with one another, we'll all be encouraged to go forward in that. So I want to tell you a story about a man named Frank Jenner, who lived in Australia from the 30s and passed away a few years ago. Frank Jenner was a nondescript, unknown street evangelist. And there's a main street in Sydney called George Street. I think it was initially where when the English colonized, it was where their barracks was. But he would go down George Street, and he had in his heart that when he came to Jesus, he made a commitment that he would try and share with 10 people a day about Jesus. And he faithfully did this for 40 years. He went out doing this. So he had a program. He had a way of doing this. And what he said, this is what he had two questions and a pamphlet that he went out with. And the questions were, he would come and he would come close to the folk and say, "Excuse me, sir or ma'am, are you saved?" And then he would ask them the question, "If you were to die in the next 24 hours, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell?" He would ask that question, and he would give them a pamphlet. And it never seemed that he built a conversation with these people, but he did that for 40 years on George Street in Sydney, Australia. And you know, through his life, he never really saw anyone come to know the Lord through this outworking of him being faithful to this. But the story goes, in London, in a place called Crystal Palace, there was a church meeting, and a man at the end of the meeting came and said, I'd just like to share my testimony. And the pastor said, "No, fine, share your testimony." And he did, and he said, "You know, I was visiting family in Australia, in Sydney, and I was walking along George Street, and this strange little man came up to me, and he asked me, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you were to die today, or in the next 24 hours, are you going to heaven or hell?' And he gave me a pamphlet. And he said, gee, you're so stirred. And he found a Christian friend, and he gave his heart to the Lord. So this pastor was intrigued by this Frank Jenner. And he started to, as he was going around, he'd been visiting Australia, and he went to Adelaide and Perth. And when he was there, he heard the same testimony of people that had come to the Lord that had visited George Street in Sydney, Australia, and had come to know the Lord. Then he went to the Keswick Convention in the Lake District in England, and he was sharing about these testimonies that he had actually heard about this guy sharing. And then four elderly pastors came up to him afterwards and said, "You know, 25, 35 years ago, the same man came and spoke to them, and that's why they're in the ministry today." So then he went to another conference in the Caribbean to some missionaries there, and he shared these testimonies again. And then three missionaries afterwards and came and said, "Yeah, about 15, 20 years ago, a man in George Street in Sydney, Australia shared this with us, and now we're missionaries." Sure, he was amazed at this. And then he went to Atlanta, Georgia, and he went to the Naval Chaplain Convention, and the Chaplain General said, "Now I want to have a meal with you afterwards." And he told the story. He says, "When I was visiting Australia in George Street, Sydney, Australia, this man came up to me and shared this testimony with me, and that's why I'm serving God today." So, and then he went to India, and he got to India, and he spoke to this man that was a Hindu before, and he said, "You know, I want to share my testimony. I was visiting on diplomatic mission. I was in Australia, and I went to go and visit George Street, and I was walking to do some shopping, and this man came up to me and shared his testimony with me and asked me if I'm going to heaven or hell, and I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Sometime later, this pastor went to Sydney to actually find Frank Jenner, and he was an old man at that time living in an apartment, and when he spoke to him, he said, "You know, my life has been fruitless. I haven't seen anyone come to know the Lord. I haven't seen anyone come to know the Lord." And this pastor said to him, "I want to just tell you some of the miracles that have taken place through your testimony of sharing Jesus, people that have come to know the Lord." And this pastor did some further investigation. For 40 years, he had many rejections on the streets. People didn't want to know anything about it. But they assess that these witnessing brought 146,000 people to Christ. One man committed to share the love of God and to challenge people of where they're going. Now, we were just sharing as elders this weekend, and Lynn was just sharing about her workplace. And I want to ask Lynn just to come and share about what God has just challenged her about her role in the workplace.
Morning, everybody. Yesterday, as we were chatting, I don't quite know how we got there, but I know the one thing that stood out was that we become very performance-based. And when we have a relationship with God, when we partnership with God, We don't need to be performance-based. It actually falls away because we're partnershiping with him. And I'm a teacher, and if any of you know anything about education, it's not an easy place to be in. It's not a half-day job. You tell me that, I will punch you lights out. Okay, that's a very Christian attitude to have, spot the Christian. But yeah, not an easy place to be in. And you know, the department places completely unrealistic expectations on us. The admin is tremendous, something that you will never, ever, ever comprehend. How long have I got to talk? Okay, so we, just a little example, when we have a child that has to be retained, we have to prove that we've done everything in our personal capacity to support that child so that they were given their best opportunity to pass. And we used to have a form called a 450 that we used to fill in. And one day I heard a friend of mine's husband saying to Ivan, do you know when they fill in those forms? It's 450 forms for one child. And he was close because the form was called a 450, but it's almost that many pieces of paper we have to fill in for one child. So yes, the admin is unreal. And it just gets, at some stage you feel like all you're doing is doing paperwork, 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 trying to put out fires, trying to keep the department happy, go, 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 go. And what are we actually achieving with these little children? And one day I was moaning to the Lord about this and saying, oh, yeah, you know, like, honestly, just get me out of here now. I've done my fair share, I'm out. I haven't taught for long, actually, because I only went to varsity when Melanie finished school. But I said, oh, I've had it. I'm done. I've had it. Move me. And he said to me, you know what? He said to me, I'm not going to judge you on whether these children pass or fail. What I will look at, though, is do they know Jesus when they leave your classroom? And it hit me here, and I thought, oh, okay, Lord. And so I was saying yesterday to the elders, my top thing on my list every day must be, do my children know Jesus? If they walk out of my class and they can add and subtract and they can read, that's cool. That's a bonus. But do they know Jesus? You know, in the end, that's what our lives boil down to. Jesus said himself, he said, it's actually so simple. Grade one, that's where we begin. Jesus said himself, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and then love others. Full stop. Doing. And if we're loving others, we're sharing Jesus with them. So maybe you're not as bold as that guy standing on the street grabbing everybody. Wow, what a fantastic thing he did. But maybe just you loving others can make a difference in their lives. Judy's sister was also a teacher, and she also went through the same thing, feeling so overwhelmed with everything that she had to deal with in her classroom. And a little boy came to her at the end of the year and said, ma'am, I need to speak to you. And she thought, oh, please, not another case, not another one where I have to get emotionally involved and give up myself. And all he wanted to say was, ma'am, thank you for loving me. And so God has placed you. Thora shoved a book in my hands this morning and said, oh, do you want a book to read? And I looked at it and said, for such a time as this. You are in the place that you are in for a reason, for a season. We had the most wonderful friend. I'm sure some of you know the young man that was part of our church for a while, Wesley. He's gone down to Cape Town because God has placed him in a place for this season. And his dad was the most amazing person who ministered to so many people in his short life. And he was killed in a car accident and when Wes was only 8. And at his funeral, there were so many people there. It was the biggest funeral we've ever been to, probably 200-300 people. And each and every person said something. You know what? Andrew prayed for me. You know what? Andrew stood with me with us. You know what? Andrew spoke into my life. Even when we went to go and help his mom pack up his dad's things, a man had phoned the day before and said, you don't know me, but Andrew took me out to coffee the day before he died, and he led me to the Lord. And as we packed away his wallet and that, here was the coffee slip inside of it. But you know what? Andrew, his whole life, he walked around thinking that he wasn't doing what God had called him to do. Because the devil kept on telling him, you need to be in full-time ministry. You need to be in full-time ministry. Why aren't you in full-time ministry yet? You're missing it. I want to tell you this morning that your full-time ministry is in the place that you are in. It's in the place that you are in. Whether you're a school teacher, for me it's easy because whatever I tell my grade ones, they believe. And so they go home and the gospel, according to ma'am, is the truth. And so for me, it's actually quite easy. I've got it light. But you know what? I've got parents that I've got to love. I've got my kids, you know, that are, I can see the one talking at the back then. Yeah. I've got a husband. Sure, that's hard work. You know, so for me, it's easy. But maybe you're in a workplace where it's really, really difficult and you've got really, really, like Arthur works with people that are very academically minded and he's got to now share the love of Jesus with them. And so it might not be easy in your place, but God has equipped you for the place that you're in. Maybe you're a mommy, the mommy's at the back there, and you've got the privilege of staying home with your children, and you feel, well, what use am I? I don't get to see kids. I don't get to see all the academics. I don't get to touch people. You do. Your children are the most valuable things that you've got. Are they going to get to heaven? You know, what about your family? What about the lady who helps you in the kitchen? Those are the people that we need to be sharing the love of Jesus with. Those are the people that need to hear about him. And so the place that you are placed in is your ministry. Each and every one of you are in full-time ministry, even more so than Mark. And so, yeah, use the opportunity that you've got to tick on that person's clock. Like that man that was on the street. I was reminded of a lady who came to minister to us, and she said, you should challenge yourself every day. What have you done to tick somebody's clock on closer to them coming to know the Lord? So maybe you share something with somebody. Maybe I love those children in my class and I tell them about Jesus. I will never ever probably see the fruit of what I've sown into those children's lives. But I've ticked their clock on closer to knowing Jesus. A clock that ticks on can never go backwards. It might stop for a while, but it will never, ever, ever go backwards. So whatever you sow into somebody's life, it's there. It's settled. It's done. It will never go backwards. It might stop, but it will never go backwards. So every opportunity you've got, wherever you are, whether you're a student, whether you're a mom at home, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a dentist, whatever it is, you're in contact with people. And so love them. Love the Lord your God first. Love them as he loved us, even to the point of laying down his life. And yeah, we share Jesus by loving others. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I think that's just such a great encouragement, is that the work of the ministry is out there and you are out there. And I want to really encourage you. I'm actually limited now. I encourage you, but to encourage you to go and encourage others. And I cannot touch the people that you come into contact with. I want to say it's from the people that are low in the business, you think, to the people that are high. Don't be scared. The MDs need that too. And, you know, God can use you. I remember I was auditing. We were doing a film, and I was sitting there, it was Rechard van der Berg and all those things, and it was all fancy and seeing all the expenditure and how they were eating oysters every day. But the reality, the MD there, the Lord just placed him on my heart. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to share with this guy. And the Lord gave me a scripture. And then I went to him. I said, can I have an appointment with you? So I set up an appointment. I sat with him and I'm shaking. Well, I'm speaking to the MD. I'm a little auditor. What can a little auditor do with an MD? So I just said, I just come humbly before you. The Lord has placed this on my heart to share with you. And I submit it to you. And I did it with that humility. He said to me, you know, I'm a Christian. And I needed that. Will you pray with me? And we knelt down in his office and we prayed. And you know, God has gives us in those opportunities that, you know, we might be frail, but you never know where you find yourself. Those people need, if someone didn't speak to me, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be preaching the gospel here to you today. You wouldn't be here if someone shared with us. So this is not a heavy, but we have an incredible opportunity to share with those that God's put across our path. So my next point, you have to make time for it. The Great Commission is not a great suggestion. We're all busy, but if we go with that priority in the roles that God has called us to do, so go and do what you do well. Do your job well, but in the doing of your job and the people that you relate to, allow God to use you. You see, God has given us an agenda, and it's to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I've just seen over the years, and even in our life of this church, we've got to put evangelism in the right place, and we've got to bring some normality to it. It's got to be normalized. It can't be the exception. It cannot be the occasional thing. It's not to bring the evangelist in and have a revival service. The role is, I really believe, as we read scripture, the role is for the church to be out there doing that. So I was reading a book on holiday about the Palestinian church. We always think that the Palestinian church doesn't exist. It is small, and we always think Palestinians are all Muslim, but they're not. There are a lot of Christians, and the one I was reading about was the church that's been established in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, and they're under an incredible amount of pressure, and this church was shrinking because of all the problems that are going on there. But the Lord placed them on their hearts, go out and share the gospel. And you know what they started to do? They said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but they started to get bold, and they started to share with pamphlets, tracts. They used to share the tracts and rejected and thrown away. And then they used the Jesus film to show the Jesus film to people. They would give them a CD, and the people go and look at it in their home. And then they started a book club, and through the books, using secular books and Christian books, people started to come to the Lord. But the greatest success they had when they started to care for people, where people in the community, where they would lose a loved one, and the door would be open to go in there. Being Muslim people, didn't want to know any about Christians, they would go and they'd love, and then they would ask, can we pray in the name of Jesus? And they would pray, and the Lord would manifest his grace and his mercy in that situation, open up the doors to the Muslim world. And I want to just say is that if a church that is persecuted can have a testimony out there, how much more where we are not persecuted yet? We have freedom of religion. We need to be going out there. So my encouragement to you today is that we need to teach you again how to share your testimony. So that's what I want to go through a little bit here today. The leaders, the elders and the deacons and the leaders in the life of the church, we need to be teaching you how to share your testimony. Parents also, have you sat down with your children? Sat down with your spouse and get them to share their testimonies? Do you know one another's testimonies? Do you? I think that's an important thing that we need to be sharing with one another. And maybe you need to write it down. And maybe you need to write it down, but make sure when you write it down, when you share for sharing your faith, your testimony, make sure you identify when you were born again. That's important. We can't just say we've been attending church all our lives. That's not to become a Christian and a follower of Jesus. You need to be born again. You need to be identifying when you made that decision that you're going to live for Jesus, and that when you were baptized, water baptized, I think that's a key thing, that you've said no to the world, that you're going to follow Jesus. Then also, we believe is also that when you were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you can follow Jesus in his strength, not in your own strength. So I want to just share my testimony by a way of example, just to help you. And I want to encourage you, and you go home, to share your testimony with one another, spouses, family, when it actually happened. And if they're not born again, well, will you lead them to the Lord? That's the important thing. So I grew up in a good, stable family. We grew up in Germiston, and we used to attend the Methodist church. And I went to Sunday school. But, you know, those things never seem to penetrate. Coming through, attended the youth, and I remember the wonderful thing, part of the Methodist church, they confirmed you before you came into membership in the life of the church, and the minister would take you away, and he would start sharing about, now you're going to become a member of the church, now you've got to become serious about this thing, it's no more playing, you've got to become serious. So he shared with us, but then my heart started to get pricked, and I went to the minister afterwards, I said, who is this Jesus? I asked that question, and it was something that stirred in my heart. He said, well, if you want to know him, you need to invite him into your heart. And it was that simple conversation. And I remember as a 16-year-old in my bedroom by myself, I said, Lord Jesus, I don't know you, but I want to know you. Will you? I just accept you. I didn't have fancy words or anything like that, but that moment I did that, there were tears that came to my eyes, and I knew something had happened. But you know what? I never had knowledge of what decision I had actually made. So we continued lives. I was very involved in scouts and in school and sport and all those things. Landed up going off to the army, and God in His grace, I landed up going to the army, and I started to land up with all the Christians. I would land up in bush phase, I'd land up in a tent, and there was a bunch of Christians in our tent. I didn't even have a Bible. The only Bible I had was the Army Issue Bible at that time. And they were picking out their Bibles and they're sharing scriptures and let us pray. And I thought, no, these oaks are weird. This is weird stuff. They're reading scripture and all these things. And they even said, come and join us in a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting? What's a prayer meeting? But you know, God was gracious through that, and he opened up my heart to pray, to start praying. And I remember right through the military, the only prayer that I could pray, I said, God, lead me to the truth. I want to know the truth. Lead me to the truth. And I landed up going to university, to Wits, and I had my car stolen. 1982, they stole cars in those days also. And then I had to catch a bus from Alberton, and on the bus, there was a bunch of students on the bus going onto campus. And there was a guy on the bus who was at school with us, and he'd become a Christian. And chat, he said to me, why don't you come and join us at our fellowship group on a Friday night? And I said, oh, I'm not doing it. I'm studying, and that's my night off. Okay, let me come. And that was the start, that I come to a knowledge of the fullness of understanding of God. And through that, I came to recommit my life to the Lord and got an understanding of what it is. And out of that, I got water baptized. I got filled with the Spirit of God. You know, the biggest decision I had to make, because I had, and I still got good friends today that I was a group of, but I had to say to them, you know what, I'm following Jesus now. I had to say to them, I'm no longer following the world. And they would be going off to the pubs and the nightclubs and all those things. And I said, God has stirred my heart. I can't do this. So they're my friends today, but I had to make the decision. And then God took me a journey of following, and that's where I am here today, preaching to you. So I want to encourage you, do that. Allow God to encourage you to write it down. And if you don't know, haven't anyone to talk to, talk to the mirror. Talk to yourself and see your testimony. And you'll be surprised. Once you've got your testimony, God will give opportunity to share with people. And people love to hear your stories. People love stories about people's lives, and it's so real. You know, if you've just been a church attendee and don't have a testimony, I want to just say you may not be a Christian and a follower of Jesus. You need to be born again and have that. So I want to teach you a little bit of how to lead someone to the Lord. So there's an ABC about this. So now you share your testimony with the people, you get a door and opportunity. Don't leave it for someone else to do it. Who are fishermen here? And there are some fishermen here. You put bait on, you put a hook on there, and you cast out to go and catch the fish. And when you put the bait on, you feel the nibble come in. What do? You strike. And when you strike, and then the hook comes in, and then you reel the fish in. Jesus said to us, I will make you fishers of men. And that reality is the hook is a gentle hook of God's love to draw people, but you've got to come them to a place to that you can hook them and bring them to Christ. Not to you, not to church, but to Christ. And when you do that, you've shared your testimony, and then you need to ask them the simple question, are you ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And then you'd be surprised. People will say, yes. Oh, then you're stuck. Now you've got to show them what to do. And then we can teach you. There's some scriptures that I can teach you, but you've got to get them to a place that they believe that Jesus is alive, that he died for them, and that he is their Lord. And then they need to confess, and you need to lead them in a simple prayer to confess them, to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you know what happens when they do that? The greatest miracle that ever takes place, being born again, takes place in people's lives. And then you got, I want to encourage you, then you've got to encourage them to follow the Lord. So I've got some salvation scriptures. I'm not going to go through all of them here specifically, but maybe write them down as they on the screen there, revealing that all have sinned, because you get some hard nuts out there. And you, when you go back to scripture and you reveal scripture to them, that all have sinned and God is gracious and he calls us to be his children, and that when we confess our sins, he forgives us. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 is, if we confess Jesus as Lord, we will be saved. And, you know, when we take those scriptures, that brings freedom and liberty to people. So there are many pamphlets out there, you know, on your Bibles. There's four spiritual laws. You know, you can go onto the App Store or the Google Store and download the four spiritual laws. There's the bilingual one. And I've got one on my phone where you can actually, where you're speaking to maybe to a person that doesn't speak your language, or you can translate from English to Afrikaans, from English to Zulu or Xhosa, and you can actually share the gospel with them. So there's no intimidation that takes place through that. Then once they've said their prayer, you've got to guide them and direct them. You've got to hand them over to the Holy Spirit and get them to a place that they would actually grow in the Lord. So some of the things that I want to suggest is, if you build this relationship, try and meet with them again if you can. But try and encourage them in these some aspects that they can grow in Christ. You need to encourage them to pray daily, to have a conversation with God. You need to encourage them to get a Bible, and not only just to have a Bible, but to read the Word of God. And I always say, when new believers come to know the Lord, don't send them to Genesis. The book of John is a good place to start, because they need a revelation of Jesus. Because when they get to Genesis, they're going to get caught up in creation, and they're going to get all those questions, and those things need to be answered at the right time. But get to the book of John and go through the book of John, and then let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Let the Word of God, but let them start reading the book of John and out of that. And then let them build a relationship with the Lord out of that. And get them to a place to obey God immediately, because immediately they are born again, Christ comes to live inside of them, they can hear God, and God is speaking to them immediately. And you know, young Christians that give their heart immediately or can be obedient immediately, and they can lead someone to the Lord. And I always encourage them, when people have given their heart to the Lord, go and tell someone else what has actually happened in your life. And you know, that's intimidating, but as soon as you do that, the boldness comes and it becomes a reality. You affirm what God has actually done in your life. Tell them to trust in the Lord for every detail of their life. Allow the Holy Spirit to control their daily lives as they work in reality, and get them to a place that they can have fellowship in a good church and do it regularly. This is where the big gap comes, is that people wonder, they don't get into a place of fellowship. And that's what happened to me. I never got into fellowship. I never got into God's Word. I never got into understand. We need fellowship. The church is absolutely vital. The church is set up to care for young babies that come in and to be nurtured with the milk and then to grow into maturity, that they can do that. So that's important. So there's a responsibility, yes, to witness, but there's a responsibility also to take that person and bring them to place. And if you can't pray, because God answers prayer and get them into a place of good fellowship. So my encouragement to every one of us here today is, just do it. Don't try and fathom this thing out. Don't try and think, well, I can't do it. Just say, Lord, I'm available, and go and do it. And then what we try and this is where invite one, bring one comes from, is that we really want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to be like the Frank Jenner, that our loved ones will come to know the Lord. You know, and every one of us, I was just reading through my prayer diary this morning, every one of us has family, and many of our family members do not know the Lord, I'm sure. And we need to be praying for them, and we need to be looking for ways to reaching them. Every one of us has got neighbors across the road, in front of us, behind us, and we've got to reach out to them. Now, I can be telling you, go and do this, go and do that, but we need to be looking for opportunity. You know what's happened in modern South Africa and the change? We've put up walls. We've put up fences, and we can't get into one another's homes. We've destroyed community. You know, our suburbs that we actually live in, community is very, very poor. You know, where the poorer people live, community is a reality, and you can walk along the street and you can talk to people and you can relate to them. We're here, for us it's more difficult, but we've got to be more intentional to be able to do that. Maybe that's where social media, where you've got your street WhatsApp group or your neighborhood watch WhatsApp group, that's an opportunity to get involved and to get there. I know what Ivan and Lynn have done is that they've taken that group and they've said, well, we're going to be proactive in our suburb, and they started a prayer meeting. And they started to invite people on that that WhatsApp group. And people have started to attend, and their influence has started to grow into their neighborhood. So there are many, many opportunities for us to go and do that. But what I like to do is, this is not coercion. I believe it's a command of the Lord. And I really do believe that we need to come before the Lord, and as we pray, to make a prayer of commitment. And I want you to commit not to me and not to church on the way, but commit to the Lord to obey the Great Commission, that you will do everything and make yourself available to him to do that. So what does that mean? It means firstly that we repent and say, Lord, sorry that we haven't been fulfilling this. And then believe that you're going to go and do it with him. You see, the wonderful thing and the encouragement that I give to you, God has not sent you alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with you and in you. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you to do the work of Jesus. And I promise you, you start to do this, you're going to start to having some of the most exciting times of your life. Now, I'm challenged by this message because I really believe in some ways I've become comfortable and I need to be out there doing more and more of this. And all of us, we cannot get into our comfort zones. We've got to be out there. So all of you have got workers. Maybe need to just start by, if they work for you, pray with them in the morning out of office hours. I don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit will show you. If you become intentional with this, now, there are phone calls. You know, we get those weird and wonderful phone calls, all those telemarketing, I'm sure, and they've always got something to share with you. So I think my suggestion to you is that I'll listen to you if you listen to me. Okay, they give their spiel. Now I'm going to share something with you, and you share your testimony of them with Jesus. What about that? That's giving time. I know it's very inconvenient when they do those things, and we see it as a nuisance, but let's see it as opportunity. There's a person behind the telephone call. So we need to do, Gerard, you run a coffee shop. It's not there to sell coffee. It's there to preach the gospel. So we've got to look at those opportunities. Maybe we need to put tracks on the shelf. I don't know. These things. I remember, Dieter, your little coffee shop was a great place to share the testimony of Jesus. Many people were prayed for. Many people came to know the Lord through that. But are we committed to share the gospel? Hey? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you. You've come to encourage us, Lord. You've left this work to us, to work with you, Holy Spirit. And today, Lord, we want to put our hands up, as Bradley said to us, will we stand up? And Lord, we do stand up and we say, Father, here we are, we make ourselves available. Every one of us has a testimony of you. And we ask, Lord, that you would use every single one of us, Lord, in our workplaces, in our families, wherever we find ourselves, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. May we not put that secondary in our lives, but we'll make that first, Lord, as we love you, that we can love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And give us success in this area, Lord. So often we are looking for blessing and prosperity, but Lord, give us success in the souls of men. That's truly our inheritance, Lord. Nothing else. The souls of men, that we have an opportunity to share you and they can come to know you. So thank you for your grace. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you use us to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Please don't run away. Come and share some coffee with us, especially those that are visitors. We'd love to have you share a cappuccino with us. But God bless you all, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Oh, yes, what I wanted to say, remember prayer and fasting on Wednesday and Thursday as we start in the new year.